Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to Hannah's Heart today, and I'm Anne. That's how I normally start out.
I love you. I'm Jade.
I'm Anne, and this is Jay.
Thank y'all for being here. I'm sorry. I love Anne. She keeps it 100. We got up in here. It's a wintry day today.
It's a wintry day.
It's wintry. Is that a word?
I'm off key. Okay. Anyway, we are a podcast that focuses on infertility and miscarriage and adoption and child loss and like
everything.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
So today, your sweet guest.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm excited. Kara Jones is in the studio with us. She's a dear friend of mine. And real briefly, the way I met her. So when we got married, we did premarital and it wasn't all that good. So when we got married, we needed a marriage counselor, and her brother-in-law was our marriage counselor. And so, we didn't even know that we were going to the same Zumba class at one point. I didn't even know. So we met, but Kara
Zumba
Jones.
Bringing people together.
Girl, I know, because you and I do Zumba together too. We love shaking our booty for the Lord, you know? Somebody better not write in for that. But anyway, Kara Jones is in the studio for us. She is a wife, a mom, a homeschool mom, a follower of Christ, and a dear friend. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to have Kara on, she has such a powerful story. She has dealt with infertility, and it started at a young age. If you could just share with us, how old were you when you were informed that bearing children would be a challenge for you?
Well, I was 14 when I started having health issues, and then I was 16 when I was officially diagnosed.
And what is the diagnosis for you?
I had premature ovarian failure, which was caused by a genetic condition, Mosaic Turner syndrome.
So that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to...
Yeah, as I feel like as a teenager hearing that, you almost like take it differently than what you would as an adult, and then you have to retake it as you become an adult.
I grieved it really hard.
Okay.
Really hard. Because, I mean, I wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's challenging. That's challenging. And then we've been friends for probably about 3 years now, and we have just grown so close. You've been a blessing to me in my journey with infertility, and even as a stepmom, and even though you're not a stepmom, but just helping, allowing me to share things. And I know during your teenage years, you also lost your mom.
Yes, I was 18 when she died.
Yes, so that was a lot. So how did you process? I know you said that having a diagnosis at that age was a challenge. So what were some things that you clung to?
Probably God's love. My theme song became "A Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And that was because at the time I didn't really know the ins and outs of what was going on. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, at that point, my body had no hormones and I was very depressed because of the lack of physical hormones. And so physically, I felt like I was struggling, but I knew that God was still God.
So now with your diagnosis, you knew up front that you would for sure not be able to have children? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. My husband married me knowing that it would never happen.
That's hard.
So, I know God can do anything.
Yeah.
Medically speaking.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as kids, because we all three of us grew up in a godly household. Mm-hmm. No household is perfect. And I think being told that, because I know when I was a little girl, even at 5, I wanted to be a mom. You know, when you play around with your dolls?
Yeah.
So that's a lot to, that can be a lot on the conscience of a teen, of a kid. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a tough question here, but I like asking this question because I think a lot of times when we encounter different struggles in life, people think as believers, I got it going on. Were you ever angry with the Lord? And how did you handle that?
When I was a teenager, no. But as I got older, and you have to go to baby showers, and everyone else is pregnant, and it has been more of a struggle in my adult years.
Yeah,
just because the rubber hits the road, and you're dealing with more of facing the reality.
Yeah.
And
I love that honesty.
It's almost like that's what I was meaning earlier. You had to grieve it twice.
Exactly. Mm. Yes.
So like, because I feel like as an adult, it hits you harder because now you're in that role of wanting to be a mom because you're a wife and your friends and all those things. And you're not able to more than likely.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, you really have to face the reality of, do I really trust God with his plan?
Mm. Yeah.
Do I really trust God with his plan? And is he good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is he really good? And does he love me enough to allow this? Does he love me enough to follow his plan?
Mm.
And do I trust him?
Do you trust them?
So, those are hard truths to, you know, I can say like, oh, you know, do you trust God? But when you're actually in it, it's a process.
Right. Because it's one thing to say it, one thing to tell people like, you know, I'm just trusting in the Lord. But when we're really digging into it and we're by ourselves at nighttime and, you know, all of that, are we actually able to fully trust in the Lord?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And I think the Lord takes us all through that of, do you really trust me? Do you really love me the way you say, through whatever trial that he places within us? And for us, I do believe it's been infertility and miscarriage, and it's hard. And in our, and we know we love the Lord, but it's just like, okay, Lord, are you going to bring me through this? And we know that he will, but help me to know that you are enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's a scripture that you've held on to through these years?
Well,
are you what you got?
I actually have three chapters. I'm not going to quote them all here, but Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54, and 55.
Okay.
Isaiah 53, it talks about Christ. He was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with our grief. Mm-hmm. And in verse 4, it says that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And then anyone listening, Isaiah 54, go read the whole chapter. If you haven't read it, that's just been like my theme chapter. And it's God's love letter to us.
Yeah.
Fertility, it starts out by saying, sing, O barren woman, that you are not, that you haven't conceived. And it talks about God's love for us, and it's just beautiful. That chapter in my Bible is just tear-stained because I cry all the time when I read it. But as far as a verse goes, I would say Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us.
So. I love that. I love the part about pouring out your heart. God can handle. He can handle it. He's God. Right, he's been here for a long time. He created us. He knows the heart of man. He knows our struggle, and we can. He's a safe place to pour out our hearts. There was something that you said earlier, Ian, that stood out to me, and it kind of coincided. And when Kara, you brought up about as you got older, it got harder dealing with not having children. And there was something Ian used to say, and it resonated with me, which was sometimes there's Ian's looking like, what did I say, girl?
What I said.
But you would say, it's okay if you don't feel like going to that baby shower.
Oh, yeah,
it's okay to, and not put yourself in that position. And I do think in time we'll get better in celebrating others, but I've done that many times. Like, I'm just not
in
the mental state.
I feel like it's very important for you to allow yourself that grief process. I'm not good at putting on a fake face.
That's what I love about you. I like that about you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's needed, I guess. But for the most part, I feel like, you know, when we For my special friends, I would give the baby shower, you know, mm-hmm. but like for people that I didn't necessarily have a relationship with, mm-hmm. but still, I guess, a close enough relationship to be invited to a baby shower, mm-hmm. it's, I don't see why you would need to put yourself mm-hmm. in that spot if you're going to hurt the whole time you're yeah. there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still think you can rejoice in life.
Yes.
And I think that that is still important if you're struggling with infertility or miscarriage or infant loss. You're still, we still rejoice in life
mm-hmm.
As a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. But our rejoicing can look different through different mm-hmm. stages of our life. Yeah, I feel like I might not go to the hospital to hold your baby mm-hmm. because I might cry the whole time I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to be rejoicing yeah. with you and your family. Mm-hmm. And rather that might mean me sending you a gift card for you and your husband to go eat somewhere mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But keeping myself maybe safe out of, y'all know, if you struggle with infertility, totally, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I totally get that. And I mean, I remember being at one baby shower and literally being the only person in a line of women who wasn't pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
And crying the entire way home. Mm-hmm. And I really like what you are saying about that because it is something that we need to allow ourselves to grieve. Mm-hmm. And grieving doesn't always mean that we're mad at God or that
sure,
we're doing something
absolutely.
Wrong. Sometimes it just means that, hey, I live in a sin-cursed world and I am touched by sin
mm-hmm.
and the effects of the fall. And I'm grieving what, like I tell, I have two daughters now. And
we're going to get there. Oh,
yeah, yes, we're going to get there.
I'm sorry.
But I tell them sometimes, you know, I'm so, so thankful for you. But there is a sense where mama's still sad that my body doesn't work the way that it should.
Right, right.
You know, but God has a plan, and but I can still be sad sometimes.
I think that's so I can good still for be you sad. To share that.
Yeah.
So, so good. Because then that doesn't cause them to wonder, like, did she ever hate that she didn't have her own baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just myself having an adopted child, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's really good that you're going ahead and opening up. I love you as much as a biological mm-hmm. child, but I am sad my body's not working the
yeah.
way that the Lord made it to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that also teaches kids. It enhances their vocabulary and their emotional yeah. intellect, I think, mm-hmm. when we are that honest. Hey, I love you. I thank God for you. But I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get to that good part. Adopted mommy's here. Kara, when did the Lord put that on your heart, you and your boo thing, your husband?
Well, I always knew that I wanted kids. And so when I found out that it didn't really matter to me how that came about. So, ironically, before I even was diagnosed, I always wanted to adopt a Pakistanian child.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was always like, I want to adopt. and then it just became a, well, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, I went for it. Yeah.
And so, actually.
How long were y'all married at that time? I'm sorry.
Year and a half, two years.
Okay. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And so our first daughter was literally just God just dropped her in our lap because I feel like it was kind of God letting me know that, like, I've not forgotten about you because
yeah.
I thought that I would get married much, much, much older because I couldn't have kids.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And ended up not getting married old.
Yeah. What I love about y'all are Caucasian ladies, and you both adopted a child out of your race. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I
oh,
wasn't
sorry.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And so in what ways, I believe that adoption shows us the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so just what are ways that the Lord has opened your heart in motherhood as an adopted mother?
Mm-hmm. Well, just the love, like God's love for us, it doesn't have boundaries.
Mm.
Yeah. That's good.
And I could get emotional talking about this.
You're fine.
Talking about my babies. But
Mark, where are you? Where's the plane?
Don't smudge.
Yeah, you're fine.
But I don't, if I had birthed them, I couldn't love them anymore. You mess with my babies, I will fight them.
Yeah.
I will fight you. Same as if, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just
yeah.
the maternal instinct it was
still there.
Oh, it's strong.
Yeah.
And anyway.
I so agree with you. And I hope that my sweet boy knows that.
Yeah.
Full-heartedly one day. Because mm-hmm. I know I could see how the enemy could work that against him. He doesn't mm-hmm. look like us. He came from a broken family. Mm-hmm. All the sad things that are true. But God has brought so much together because of brokenness, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
And so I hope he can fully yeah. know that and feel that about me and his mm-hmm. daddy. Because, yeah, we literally fought for him.
Yeah.
And so he actually came harder than any of our other mm-hmm. babies. So mm-hmm. Anyway, but so incredibly worth it.
Yeah.
I love that. With adoption, I know everyone is different. Some women, they're like, that completely settled it for me. I completely no longer desire biological children. But with every woman is different. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, because I remember a woman on Hannah's Heart came at me because I made a statement once. But I think, I'm telling you, these women are, woo, the mama bear. And she was like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. But I do believe adoption doesn't always, it's not a Band-Aid to remove that biological. Just like women used to tell me, you're a stepmom, you have a kid, you're fine. That is not the same thing. You best believe she chooses her biological mother over me, and she should choose her over me. So I still have that void. And so with adoption, I know you love your girls. I've seen you with your girls. I have no doubt, just like you love your baby boy. But do you still have that longing occasionally?
Oh, yeah.
I love your honesty. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's still a desire to, have a baby that looks like my husband.
Right.
Yeah. Just that's
a for sure thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And or feel a baby kick.
Yeah.
I know labor is not maybe not something to be desired, and as far as the pain aspect, but just the I watched my sister give birth, and just the experience of
that
doing
immediate
that
love
as a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I love my friends. I have some real friends here, because I think people sometimes they want to come off as if a person is wrong to express their vulnerability. But I do believe God gives us a natural instinct as women. I like Isaiah 54. It was actually Laura Perry was on months ago, mm-hmm. and she brought up that chapter. I had never read it before, and I was like, whoa, the Lord does care about us. Mm-hmm. Like the barren woman, mm-hmm. yeah. how our children will look different. And my aspect is more of, yes, I have a stepdaughter, but it's all based upon, how much she wants me in her life. Mm-hmm. But just other young ladies that I've mentor through the years, I've mothered in a right. different manner. And so motherhood does look different.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. I would say with adoption too, you talking about wanting biological children or feeling that still in your heart. We lost our baby boy in July, and it's been it's something that's always on my heart, because I'm always concerned. Mark will wonder, would you have rather lost me? Because people, I feel like, put such a huge aspect on your biological son, mm-hmm. And then I wonder the same thing for Jane. Well, you could have had a son, mm-hmm. But like you were saying, you wonder what your baby would look, would he look mm-hmm. like your husband, mm-hmm. I wonder that too with my baby, like, mm-hmm. would he have acted like his big brother, he's not, mm-hmm. biologically related to at all. Yeah. But Mark was so excited about John Micah coming.
Yeah.
And so to not get to see that relationship, mm-hmm. it's still sad, even though we have an adopted son,
yeah.
to miss that with a biological son. Not yeah. because I genuinely can say I do not feel a different love mm-hmm. towards them.
Yeah.
I'm a greater love. Of course the love is different.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Because you have that connection immediately. And I was almost scared to have that connection with Mark immediately, because he was not supposed to be mine. Mm. He was, ours through foster care at that time. Mm. And so we didn't know what our relationship would end up looking like. But anyway, I just thought that, for you to bring up that yeah. aspect of, I would still like
yeah.
to know what a biological baby yeah. would look like and act yeah. like.
And I've had people who I've had to work on, I guess, just looking over them for good, because I know that these people who've said these things don't mean it in a
Give an example, Kara. I think I know what you're hitting on, girl. Keep it 100. Well, it's okay.
Like, I had somebody and they said, well, they found out that I was still struggling with sometimes the fertility aspect. And they were like, oh, we have two kids. I thought you'd be over that by now.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, you know, just the aspect of... Actually, somebody once on a podcast... I don't even know where I heard this, but she was giving the example of grief, and she was giving the example of her foot being broken. She said, my foot was broken a few years ago. It's healed now, but it still hurts.
Yeah, that's very good.
I love that.
And she said, pretty much, it's okay for things to hurt sometimes and to still feel pain, even though you've healed, even though there's healing. That doesn't mean
so
you don't.
Good.
You don't. Yeah, I was like, oh, I want
such
that.
A simple way to put such a big deep thing.
Yeah. And I think through the years, because we're 6 years in, I'm better in terms of acceptance, but I still hurt. Mother's Day, holidays, girl, Christmas was a little rough. And I said, Lord, help me focus on Jesus. Help me focus on him. And he has helped me. Mm-hmm. But I love that y'all bring up, we're still human. These are instincts and desires that the Lord places within women. I really believe that, especially God-fearing women.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
So, Kara, this is one of my favorite questions to ask, which is, what would be your encouragement for a woman who's listening who is dealing with infertility? What's your encouragement for them?
God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He knows the plan, and you are part of his plan.
Yeah.
So,
I love that.
Our enoughness does not come from what we produce or what we do.
Right.
It comes from God. And is not really a word, but God is our enoughness.
I love that.
I love enoughness.
Yes. God is our enoughness.
Use that. He's enoughness.
Yeah. Because I'm not enough. Yeah. I'm not enough. Yeah. You know, I am a mortal human being, and I have so many flaws and so many weaknesses, but God is our strength. Pour your heart out to him, because he cares for you. He cares for you deeply, and you are not forgotten.
That's right.
So
I love that.
Real quick, your husband and all this, how does he feel about everything where y'all are today?
He has been so supportive.
Good.
He has been just incredibly supportive. At the same time, like, we were being honest last night and talking, and he said, you know, sometimes I do still have some of the same feelings that you've expressed. But, you know, he kind of agrees with me in that we know that God has a plan, and he is sovereign.
Yeah.
He is sovereign. He does not make mistakes.
Yes.
God does not make mistakes. And he said, look at our children. Right now, they're growing up in a church. They're growing up, even though we're not perfect parents.
Sure.
They are learning about God.
Yeah.
And we're thankful that we can give them that.
Yeah. And so, that you might not have.
Yeah.
If things would have worked out differently. Yeah.
And so we wouldn't change a thing.
I love that.
I love that. So, man. And what about you? Anything you want to encourage? <It's> like,
what about me, Jade?
No, I love your honesty with things. Like, I love transparency, because, you know, the heart of men, we hurt. And so what are ways that you would encourage other women, like, with the journey you're in right now? You're a warrior, and I told you that, and you really are.
She called me a warrior. Yeah, she did. And I was like, what?
Because you're pushing through, you know, and in spite of everything you've endured.
You're sweet, Jade. I told you that day, I was like, Jade, I've never felt so weak before in my life. So for you to call me that really meant a lot. To be encouraging, if you still are struggling with infertility, unless you just feel like God has just completely closed a door to adoption, I would highly encourage you to just look up some adoption agencies. Just pray about it, you know, write down adoption somewhere, and just throughout your day, think about, dear God, if I'm meant to do it, lay it on my heart. Open it up. Make me and my husband on the same page, because adoption can be such a beautiful and healing thing. I'm not saying that any adopted child would take a place of any biological baby, but they're healing to some broken hearts. And those babies are so incredibly enough, you know, on those days that it is so hard. And you're getting to sit there and love on a baby that you wouldn't have had the chance to love on if you wouldn't have opened your heart to that baby. And you're that baby's answered prayer. You are that baby's answered prayer. But you will learn. They are your answered prayer also.
Amen. I love that. Man, Kara Jones, thank you so much for joining us. I love your heart. I knew this was going to be a great episode to have you and Anne on because y'all can relate with adoption. And thank y'all so much for tuning in to Hannah's Heart. Until next time, God bless.